You want to say it this time? You say it this time.
No, you go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome in to the now three-time South Carolina Broadcasters Association Sports Talk Radio Show of the Year. Welcome in to the Rob Brown Show here on the Fan Upstate. A new piece of crystal to adorn the trophy cabinet, which we need to expand soon because we ain't done, my dudes and dudettes. Lonzo went to Columbia, took a little trip over to the state capital of the Palmetto State, and he was sent home with this beautiful piece of crystal hardware that says not once, not twice, but thrice, a Robin Lonzo, the host of the best sports talk show of the year, the Rob Brown Show. Now a three-time sports talk radio show of the year award winner from the South Carolina Broadcasters Association.
I got to take my daughter there. I was pretty excited about that because she never got to experience that sort of thing. And she said, "You're the only one with one name." And I said, "Yeah, I know."
Madonna, Cher, Celine, Lonzo. That is the list of divas. That's it right there. Well done.
Yeah, the first couple of years, someone who you know really well made sure they put my first name on there, which really annoyed me, and I'm sure she thought it was hilarious.
This one absolutely says Lonzo.
Oh, it does.
Absolutely it says does. Lonzo. We're set, man. We're set. Three time. Now, what do we do? How do we follow this up? We go get that four, give me two claps and a Ric Flair woo. Woo! I can't. I don't have. I'm not all here today. I'm going to be real.
I am still disappointed that. Gotcha. I'm disappointed that it's not four time. It should have been four time. That's going to eat at me every year. It should be four. Next year, it should be five. The year after that, it should be. But, you know, we missed a year. And I think we got to make up for that year by continuing to go hard and win more.
I'm just going to say, does it bother me? I'd be lying to say no. Just makes me want it that much more. Because next year, we get to hold up the four. The year after that, we get to come in here and drop the five-time South Carolina Sports Talk Show of the Year award on him. All right? Lonzo is the John Cena of getting trophies, all right? I come in here, I say some words into a mic, Lonzo takes the Wizard of Wave talents that he has captivated for years, he goes into the lab, he cooks up something special, and we go get trophies. It's just how it works.
I believe it was either down the hall or downstairs, they were calling me Mr. SCBA. You know, and
you're not going to stop him?
No. I've seen the guy.
The guy
who won, was up there like 12 times. That's the guy. I'm not the guy. I'm going to be the guy someday, but that's the guy.
I'm going with,
I don't even know his name, but he's forever etched in my mind as the guy.
Just a legacy that Zoe is putting together down here. So we do bring home the not one, not two, but third trophy from the South Carolina Broadcasters Association. Lonzo and I did pick up the Award of Merit, a.k.a. the Silver Medal for Sports Morning Show Team. And I picked up the Award of Merit for the He's Still With Us, but Chris Miller Memorial Trophy of Sportscaster of the Year.
All right, I've been told, because and I'm fostering this because I want this. I've been told that Cole wants this.
Okay.
And that he's coming. I mean, the other part of the show may not be, you know, but he is. So, and that's what we want. We want competition. So Cole, you're on notice. Let's do this.
Hell yeah. You understand? I got zero problem with both of us sitting over there for that trophy next year, shaking a hand if we don't get it, shaking a hand if we do. If it's between us and the boys, I'm good with it.
Yeah, because the station wins. So we need them in there doing their thing, and Cole's ready to go. So let's do this.
Don't get me wrong, I'm coming for that ass, Cole Bryson. All right, as The Rock would say, bring it. But if I'm going to sit across that table from anybody with that award up in the air, I will always pick to be across from D-Train and C-Money, the host of Wire to Wire from 3 to 7. Hey, it's 7:06 in the morning. I got to tell you, recovery day, all right? Like football player, this is an ice bath day for me. I'm in the sauna today. I'm in the massage chair today.
We could probably get an ice bath in here, and you could do the show from an ice bath. I mean, they do. Kevin Hart does podcasts from that.
Metaphorically speaking, but I'm hurting. I'm hurting. You know what? I showed up. We're playing like a damn champion today. That's what we're doing. So, let us get into the top three sports stories you need to know before you get to the office. Let us get into this. Water cooler cheat sheet, top three sports stories you need to know before you get to the office and start talking sports with your coworkers or your friends, your family, your dog, whoever it is you spend that part of the day with. This is what you're going to be talking about. Let's jump right in with item number one. I'm still coming online. Like, you know how, like some of you will remember back in the day. That's my brain right now.
I was going to say, I don't think it was that rhythmic as what you did. I thought you were going like...
Been a long time.
EDM or something. It was
cool. Just my brain's a dial-up modem right now, trying to get connected, all right? Back when you had to, like, you wanted to sneak up and get on the internet, but you couldn't because when the computer connected, it made a sound that woke up every person in your neighborhood.
Why were you... You just want sports scores. That's why you were sneaking on the internet, right?
Oh, for sure.
Okay, all right.
When XX Big Robbie for you XX logged online and wanted to go see what his baseball team that day did after Bob Brown Jr. went to bed, and all you could do is hit that connect button, wait for... and pray. You know, you put a pillow over the computer to try to mute the sound a little bit, but you were just hanging on for dear life that Papa Bear was sleeping heavy that night, that Mama Bear was sleeping heavy that night. All right, let's get to item number one on the water cooler cheat sheet. Good news, bad news for the Carolina Panthers. The good news is that we have new Xavier Leggett sound. We have been blessed with more Xavier Leggett sound. The bad news is that after training camp practice yesterday, Xavier Leggett had to leave with a foot injury. The good news, x-rays came back negative. They were fearful of a bone fracture or contusion in the foot, and it does look like Xavier Leggett fortunately avoided that. The bad news is that we don't know what the injury is. He is set for an MRI. We await the results of that MRI to find out exactly what it is that is ailing Xavier Leggett. But from folks I've spoken to so far, do not expect to see XL take the pitch on Thursday evening along with his Panther brethren in preseason game number one. We'll keep an eye on that story. Because, again, I absolutely do think that XL's needed this year, okay? Now, XL's been taking second-team snaps. I saw that on Thursday. Taking second-team snaps behind John Mingo and TMJ. It's a slow start. But I'm also going to say, I've said it. Folks who know ball have said it. XL's massively important to the future of this team and to Bryce Young. I don't think there's any reason to rush the guy. I don't think there's any reason to push the guy. I don't think there's any reason to try to get XL to do too much. I absolutely think you give him the time that he needs to figure it out. We talked to Steve Smith. In fact, we'll play that Steve Smith interview at the end of this hour. Coming up about 7:33, we'll roll that interview that Diesel and I did with Panther legend Steve Smith. We asked about that. And one of the things that Steve Smith said as he is in Carolina, he works with the wide receivers there, is you got to let a guy figure it out, especially a guy like XL. Guy like XL who dominated college football. Why? Because he's bigger and stronger, faster, and jump higher than everybody else. But Steve Smith said what I've said to y'all a million times. When you get to the NFL, everybody's an All-American. Everybody. And so if you dominated in college ball, because you could outrun, outjump everybody, the number of guys that can do that in college, get to the NFL, and keep doing that's very low. So he's got to figure out the little intricacies of the game. He's got to figure out the adaptations that he needs to make to his game to fit into the next level. And that's why it's great to have guys like Steve Smith out there, to have guys like Adam Thielen in the locker room to help. Hey, man, I saw you doing this. Try this and see what he picks up along the way. Steve said, you got to let the guy be the guy. You got to let him find his way, develop his way, develop his game his way. But you got to give him time to do that as well. We'll talk to, we'll replay the conversation that Diesel and I had with wide receiver legend Steve Smith at the end of this hour. But before we get there, let's get to item number two. Team USA basketball, both the men and the women now have swept the group stage. Both teams end 3-0. The American sans Drew Holiday, something I was very concerned about because, and this is true, Lonzo's favorite player, Steph Curry, had himself a real bad game too. Like 0 for everything in game number two. That's not great. And I said, last Friday, or last Thursday, going into the weekend, I think I'll probably start Drew Holiday over Steph Curry, right? Like, I probably go with Drew Holiday as my point guard. Because if Steph's not knocking down threes, it's not like he's a wonderful defender that helps you out. Drew Holiday is. He can put the clamps on a dude. Well, Drew Holiday was unavailable. Steph Curry did get the start. 3 of 8 from the floor, 2 of 6 from deep. He had 8 points. You had 10 out of Jay Tate.
Wow.
You had 10 out of LeBron, 15 out of Embiid, and Devin Booker got the start with 9 points. But it was Ant-Man Edwards' time to shine. Anthony Edwards said into these Olympics, I am the dude. I'm the guy. When I'm out there, everybody's got to play to me. Anthony Edwards, 11 of 15, 3 of 6 from deep. Had 3 assists, a couple of boards, and 26 points for Team USA as they knock off Team Puerto Rico 104-83. They enter the medal round number one overall. I'll take it. The U.S. women knocked off Germany in what was a uninspiring offensive output for Team USA women. Now, still a pretty comfortable win, right? Can't be upset about an 87-68 win in Lille, France. But worst offensive game probably so far. You had Asia Wilson. She put in 14. Brianna Stewart put in 13. Jackie Young led the U.S. with 19. It was a slow start once again from the three-point line. That is something that has been a problem for the U.S. women's basketball team. Took them some time to get there, but they heated up late. They got better later. They got better towards the end of the game. And then they pulled away, and they were able to stay pulled away from the German team. They win the group 3-0. They will get Nigeria first up in the knockout round. This is the deepest an African team has ever been into the Olympic tournament, and it's going to mean a lot to them if they can go get the upset over Team USA. So the men's and women's team both sweep the group. Both will go into the knockout round as the number one overall seed. Item number three. I went back and forth on what should be number three. Do I make it Scottie Scheffler winning the gold medal in golf? Because prison Scottie ain't no joke. My man went from convict to gold medalist in 7 months. Talk about a turnaround, right? Scottie Scheffler was in handcuffs. Prison Scotty was like him and Dom Mysterio. And what happens? Face turn for Scottie Scheffler. Gets out, goes through his rehabilitative program, and ends up winning. But that's not what I'm making number three. We are going to come back and talk about that very soon. We'll talk about Scottie Scheffler. What I'm going to make number three is this. Why? Because I'm really excited to see Lonzo's reaction to this. New Michigan head coach Sherrone Moore is now facing allegations he violated NCAA rules related to an investigation into impermissible scouting and sign stealing. Law and Order Ann Arbor is back on the menu, boys. People who have been briefed into the contents of an NCAA notice of allegations acquired by ESPN over the weekend said that Michigan is expected to receive those either last night or today. And in those notice of allegations, Sherrone Moore is accused of deleting text messages from Connor Stallions back in the game. The former low-level recruiting staffer who coordinated an off-campus advanced scouting operation around the time the investigation was open. Stallions resigned from his position with Michigan amidst the sign-stealing allegations in November of last year. August 27th. Circle it in red on the calendar. Now, I'm a skeptic. I've said this before. When you watch a documentary, you must know, obviously, that documentaries are made for a reason, for a purpose, okay? Doesn't mean they're not good. Doesn't mean they can't have some good stuff in there. But documentaries are usually made with some sort of agenda. Sometimes that agenda is good and benevolent and wonderful for the world. And sometimes it's somebody trying to own the narrative. It's trying to get outside of the story. The Michael Jordan documentary, as we have pointed out, was pretty damn pro-Michael Jordan for a guy that was considered a, for a lot of NBA players, for a lot of years. Well, August 27th, there's a Netflix documentary coming out called Sign Stealer, where Connor Stallions will break his silence. Sherrone Moore is involved in all of this. The NCAA has determined Stallions was, in fact, disguised on the Central Michigan sideline to spy on Michigan State, and new Michigan head coach Sherrone Moore was one of seven members of Michigan's 2023 sign-stealing scandal, accused now of NCAA violations, specifically having 52 text messages from Connor Stallions that he deleted. Then they were recovered by the NCAA, and they went, "Yo, Sherrone, what's up with this?" And he went, "Oh, that's my bad. That's my bad. I forgot. Here you go."
You can thank Tom Brady for that because, you know, Tom Brady broke his phone and they couldn't supposedly retrieve those. And they're like, this will never happen again in Michigan. And so now they were able to retrieve those because that's what they do in Michigan.
Those dirty, 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 dirty Wolverines. Wolverines having a real good year in the silver screen, real bad year in college football.
Well done.
So, Connor Stallions is going to have his... You watching? We're absolutely watching that, right?
For sure.
Like, I will be putting on a smoking jacket and have a pipe to watch that, all right? I'm going full shot. I'm going to figure out the mystery just through this documentary.
Don't do Raging Fire, though. It's too warm outside. It's probably a bad idea.
I look forward to that. But Sherrone Moore doesn't, because after the NCAA found those 52 messages, he is now accused of multiple level 2 NCAA violations. They also stem back to other members of the team. Sherrone Moore filled in as the acting head coach when Jim Harbaugh had to take the two-game suspensions, one at the beginning of the year, one at the end. Here's the fun part. Sherrone Moore now faces suspensions from the team, which means the guy who had to replace the guy when the guy was suspended is now the guy who's going to be suspended and has got to find the guy that's going to replace the guy who is going to be suspended if the NCAA drops the hammer down, which I will say this. I expect them to. I expect them to drop the hammer on Michigan. Why? It's not because Sherrone Moore is particularly egregiously violating any sort of rules, though he is.
I was going to say, yeah.
Though he is. The reason why is because now this is connected all the way back to the Harbaugh stuff. This is now just an endless cycle. So how do you make sure other schools know you've got to nip these things in the bud or else wait, you got to hammer Sherrone Moore? I suspect Sherrone Moore is absolutely taking a suspension this year, and it might be a longer suspension than Jim Harbaugh. Now, before anybody hits the text line, 71307, start your text with fam. I will go ahead and tell you now, no, they're not going to take Michigan's national championship away. Should they? I'll let you decide.
Absolutely, they should. Let's find out the depth of the cheating first, I suppose.
That's fair. All right, we'll talk more about this little CSI Ann Arbor coming up on the show. I got to go get the shades are in the car. I got to go get them. All right. End of this hour, Steve Smith joined Diesel and I on Thursday. We'll replay that interview for you and give our thoughts on that, all coming up on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. The Rob Brown Show back on your radio. It is the Fan Upstate. Robin the Great One, Lonzo with you. Diesel and I got the chance to sit down last Thursday at Carolina Panther Fan Fest with the legendary wide receiver, Steve Smith Sr. We'll play that interview for you coming up in the next segment. So stay tuned for that to hear what Steve-O had to say about the Panther offense, about the wide receiver core that he is helping out with this year. We look forward to playing that for you coming up in the next segment. But let's stick on this Michigan thing. Wait a minute. Got to go back to the shades because it's time for another episode of Law & Order Ann Arbor. So here's what we got. We got notified over the weekend that another notice of allegations was being delivered to the University of Michigan, either last night or this morning. This notice of allegations claims that Sharon Moore, the new head coach of the Michigan Wolverines, who replaced Jim Harbaugh after he left to go back to the NFL, is indeed connected to the Connor Stallions sign-stealing scandal. He faces allegations that he violated NCAA rules related to an investigation into impermissible scouting and sign-stealing that hung over the program throughout its run to last season's national championship. According to Fox Sports, three people who have been briefed on the contents of that notice of allegations that Michigan was expected to receive late last night say that Moore is accused of deleting text messages from Connor Stallions, the former low-level recruiting staffer who coordinated an off-campus advanced scouting operation around the time the investigation was opened. Stallions, of course, has since resigned from his position, did so in November of last year. We await the documentary called Sign Stealer coming up on Netflix August 27th. One of the people said the NCAA had recommended a level 2 violation for Sharon Moore. Level 1 is the most serious, and that the NCAA was able to recover messages exchanged, 52 of them, between Moore and Stallions. ESPN reported yesterday that they had obtained a copy of the draft of the notice of allegations, which could be different from the final notice delivered to Michigan. The 38-year-old, I wish I had ambition. The 38-year-old was promoted from offensive coordinator to head coach when Jim Harbaugh left Michigan to become coach of the Chargers after the Natty. Moore filled in as acting head coach 4 times last season, while Harbaugh served suspensions, winning all 4 games, including the season finale against Ohio State.
So you want ambition to cheat?
No, I'm just saying my man's 38 and got himself an HC job.
For now?
For now, that's fair. Harbaugh did deny any knowledge of impermissible scouting while with the program, though he could face level 1 violations, which would effectively make it all but impossible for him to return to the NCAA. The Big Ten did suspend Harbaugh for the final 3 games of the 2023 regular season schedule as a punishment against Michigan. Let's cut right to the chase on this one. The conversation you're going to hear about 1,000 times today is going to be, should the NCAA strip Michigan of their national championship title? Now, should they and will they? Very different discussions. Those sentences mean different things. Will they? Will they? No, they're not going to. Charlie Baker already came out earlier this year and said the Wolverines won the national championship, and I quote, fair and square, end quote.
Things change, though. They do. When sometimes information that you didn't have when you made a statement, you find that information or that information is given to you and you have a change of heart, change of mind, whatever. So things could have changed.
You're not incorrect on that. Fox Sports said in their article, quote, Moore and Michigan could face more serious charges from the NCAA as repeat violators coming on the heels of a separate investigation into recruiting violations. Last December, the NCAA sent Michigan a notice of allegations regarding impermissible on and off campus recruiting during the COVID-19 dead period and coaching activities, potential violations that led to the school's self-imposed 3-game suspension of Harbaugh to start the season. Moore was given a 1-game suspension by the school. Michigan used a different acting coach for each of those 3 season opening games. Now, the case was settled with a negotiated agreement between Michigan and the NCAA in which the school received 3 years of probation, though Harbaugh did not participate in the settlement talks, which is why we knew he was gone at the end of last year. Harbaugh previously told NCAA investigators that he would not agree to an unethical conduct charge for not being forthright, according to multiple people familiar with the situation. The people spoke on the condition of anonymity because details of the investigation have not been shared. This latest Michigan case remains to be resolved, probably a number of months away from any sort of resolution. NCAA policy gives schools 90 days to respond to a notice of allegations. After a response, the school will be scheduled for a hearing in front of the NCAA's Committee on Infractions through a negotiated resolution, though a negotiated resolution would still very much be possible. So, again, the question, will the NCAA take away their natty? No, they're not going to. It would cause so much controversy that I think they would avoid it.
Why would it cause controversy? You cheat and you pay for cheating. I just, the ultimate price to pay is losing something that they definitely earned on the field, but that's the ultimate price to pay. What's the thing that will hurt them the most? Taking scholarships, yeah, but stripping them of the championship. By the way, not the first time a championship has been stripped from Michigan. So, I mean, go back and look at basketball.
What's the thing the NCAA has to be worried about the most right now? It's the Big Ten and the SEC creating their own mega superstar league.
Oh, they're not going to. No, I mean, this is not going to be the thing. Michigan is not going to be. They're not going to stand up and go, if you strip Michigan, we're leaving.
Michigan
they're not going to do that.
Michigan might not.
No, that's what I'm.
The Big Ten.
Yeah, I'm saying the Big Ten's not going to do
that. The Big Ten and the Southeastern Conference, at some point, and I've said this for a while, and I'm not backing off of this yet. At some point, the Big Ten and the SEC are going to put the research in to figure out, how do we make our own thing? How do we not get bogged down by the NCAA? How do we not get bogged down with their rule systems? How do we create our own? Because as we have learned through the evolution of the transfer portal rules and the NIL rules and all these other changes that have been coming down the pipe for college football, what have we learned, right? What have we figured out? What we figured out is the NCAA is, it's my favorite word, feckless. They are toothless. They don't have anything that they can do. Basically, they go to hand out a punishment and they just hope all the parties involved will go, okay, that's good enough. If they take a natty off the board, despite the fact that obviously Michigan will continue to celebrate it, if they take a natty off the board, it also comes off the board for the Big Ten. I'm not saying that would be the trigger. I'm saying it would be one more bullet in the gun of the Big Ten eventually going, yeah, you know what? We don't need the NCAA. We're going to do our own damn thing for football. We're out. And if that happens to the NCAA is cooked.
Yeah, but do you want that out there? Yeah, we have a championship, but everyone doesn't believe it's real because they cheated.
Doesn't matter.
It's a bad look, dude.
It's not so much about the principle of the thing as it's just the reason, right? It's just the reason. If two dudes want to fight, sometimes they just need a reason to go. And it might not even be a good reason. Oh, you looked at my girl wrong. Step outside, right? It's not that they would have this big thing about, oh, we're really upset about it. It's just that might be the trigger for the fight. Or one of them. We'll talk more about it later on. Steve Smith sat down with Diesel and I last Thursday. We'll play that interview for you next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. Last Thursday, the Carolina Panthers held Fan Fest down in Clemson. We had the opportunity, the real Diesel and I did, as we hosted Wire to Wire, to sit down with legendary Carolina Panther wide receiver Steve Smith. Here is our interview with one of the best.
Sitting to my left, to Rob Brown's right, is the legendary. Do you like that word, legendary Steve Smith?
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
He does like that word. So we just had Anish Sharaf in here just a few minutes ago, and on his way out, he elbowed me in the side, said, ask him about Mingo. You got to ask him about Mingo. So what's the deal? What's going on with Jonathan Mingo? I know you're working with him. What can you tell us?
I mean, I work with a lot of guys, but it's just we're just getting some stuff on and just really just talking ball, right? Talking about football, how he sees it, how I see it. You know, everybody, you can look at the same thing with us three right here, and you can see the same picture with three different pairs of lenses, right? Literally, because we're all three of us are wearing glasses, right? But it just depends on, you know, what your perspective is, how you were looked at, how you were taught, what maybe what you weren't taught. You know, everybody dissects and looks at football differently, and so getting an opportunity just to get to know him as a person first, to be able to build up that trust, to talk ball and privately talk and be upfront and honest with each other about ball.
Is it hard for young guys in the league to do that? I mean, we're excited about Xavier Leggett. Obviously, you've got Mingo and Marshall, both guys trying to kind of make it. Is it tough for young guys to have that communication that allows them to mature in the league?
I think it's getting harder and harder. When you think about I was at, you know, doing what I do with the Panthers during the preseason, it's nice. And then, obviously, with NFL Network, going to all these other facilities and watching these teams and listening to coaches yell and congratulate. And I had the opportunity to speak with Jordan Love, who just got paid. And I sat down with him and I asked him, I said, man, what did you learn about ball today? Like, right now, could you have been a starter? His real answer, he said, man, if I was starting my rookie year, his words, not mine, it's on my social media, he said he would not be in a position he is today because he was not ready. At Utah State, his head coach was Gary Anderson. Gary Anderson eventually left. Jordan Love had, I believe, three different offensive coordinators in his career. So that means he never really got comfortable. He always had to learn a new system, which means that he never got to master it. He was never allowed to command the offense because as soon as he offseason came, he was learning a new one. And so I bring that up to say sometimes the Justin Jeffersons people expect, well, he drafted him, he should be catching 100 passes. Right, and I believe that, like, with Mingo, a lot of people have said so many things about him and had these unrealistic expectations and compared him to the next guy or like, oh, well, DJ had this by this time. Yes, and the situation and the circumstances were completely different.
Steve, can you think back to a coach over your playing career that really kind of opened you up and opened up your ability as a player? And can you think back to what was the change in the terminology that just made things click for you?
Well, you have to be in something long enough. You got to make some mistakes to be able to know what's right and what's wrong. Why did that happen? I always ask God, what's your process? What's your procedure? Well, in college, we're at this stadium right now in college. If this was a game going on right now and the team had the ball on the 30, there's a pretty 100% certain the opposing teams will be holding up signs and the whole offensive unit would be looking at the sideline. That pitcher tells you what you're supposed to do. You've heard stories of guys saying, hey, this pitcher tells one side to run a route and the other side you're just – running off. That does not exist in the NFL. In the NFL, everyone has an assignment. Everyone has to be aligned the right way because it all must go together. Play action, there's no plays off. In college, it's different. Now, the league, some of these teams now are adapting, you know, calling plays at the line, having code words, but it's different. And so for me, what coach helped me, I got to say, every coach that I've interacted with has given me something to take away good and bad. I've had some great coaches, and I've had some okay coaches. But even in okay coaches, there's been moments where I go back and look at my data and say, okay, I maybe didn't have a 1,000-yard season, but there was information and stuff that I was able to gather that can help me continue my career until now where I'm no longer playing. But it's still two goalposts at the end of this, end of the field. There's still four guys that look like they work at Foot Locker. And there's white lines out there, right, with hash marks. It's still football. And you can take this like the NFL is doing, and you could play it in Europe, or you can play it right here in Clemson. And at the end of the day, it's still your man versus the other man. And you have to be able to allow young men to really perform and learn at the expense of your eyes to know that they're not going to get it right all the time.
Talk to me a little bit about Xavier Leggett. We're up in Greenville, South Carolina, not too far from Columbia. A lot of South Carolina Gamecock fans up there. Excited to see what this young man can do. We've started to see some of the video clips coming out from camp where he's getting vertical. He's going up and making jump ball catches. I kind of have that same concern that I wonder if Panther fans are going to want XL to get pushed a little too hard, a little too early under the Canales system. Have you seen anything out of Xavier Leggett that's jumping off the page at you so far? And what do you think his development's going to be like in year one?
Well, usually someone is going to say, hey, man, I think this guy can do this, this guy can do that. I'm really taking a step back and kind of saying, man, I'm just going to wait and see. He is a vertical threat. I think that people get enamored with his size. And shouting out to Julius Peppers, right, the first active Carolina Panther outside of Sam, you know, we get the honor. But Leggett is not this huge man that everybody keeps saying. Like, he was outstanding for college.
Sure.
But he is just a young player right now. Everybody in the league, we just saw all the 40s. Everybody in the league is running 4.4, 4.3. You know, except me, everybody's 6'6" plus,
yeah.
Right? And so Leggett, I think what he's going to have to figure out is everything he did in college is not going to translate to the same outcome in the league. Guys can run with they can run with him. Some of these guys can run faster than him. Some of these guys can bench press more than him. He's going to have to learn the nuances of football, and athleticism cannot always be the answer. He's going to have to think, and that's what defensive coordinators do. They make you think, and when players think, they run slower. They slow down. They're not really running with a sense of authority because they're running thinking, okay, what am I supposed to do? And so that's one of the issues that young guys have is they can't play comfortably immediately because they're thinking.
Steve Smith joining us here on the Fan Upstate. Steve, as all these new pieces of the passing game are evolving, and it may take half of the season to get there, how do you think Adam Thielen's role will evolve in 2024 as maybe things open up for him a little bit more? Because everybody knew last year that he was the guy that Bryce Young felt comfortable throwing the football to. And as he gets more options, how do you see Adam Thielen's year progressing?
I think Adam Thielen is still going to be the guy because he's reliable, right? He has tricks of the trade that these young guys don't have. They have the legs. He has the mind. I think what's going to really be important is how does Coach Dave Canales open up not just Adam Thielen, but open up everyone else the same way he was able to do with Tampa. And so if he's going to attack all three levels of the offense, where it's deep threat, intermediate, and then underneath and checkdowns, that means everybody has to be on the same page. Offensive line has to solidify and give the quarterback time so the quarterback can go through his progression and feel comfortable delivering the football without getting hit every play.
All right, I want to go back and talk to you about you back in the day. I grew up a New Orleans Saints fan. You used to decimate my guys. And as much as a Saints fan, it killed me. I always loved the back and forth, the smack talk. You and guys like Mount Jenkins and Roman Harper were always kind of at it. So my question is this. Did you come into games with lines you knew where you were going to drop on these guys, or was smack talk just kind of something that came as a natural part of the game for you?
I mean, I think smack talk is just one of those things, you know, guys. I don't want to say guys. Athletes do. You're just kind of hanging out, having fun, talking smack. You know, being yourself. Some people enjoy it. Some people don't like it. I mean, it just depends on who you ask. I've listened and heard people, who disapprove of it. But, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, everybody does it their way and you have fun. And I just remember when I was playing, people would always tell me, or I've heard people say, you know, act like you've been there before. I push back. Why? Why do I need – I think this is wrong with our society. We have a very interesting perspective to always give other folk, emphasis, other folk, advice on how they're supposed to walk their journey. If you would not be. Just let the people, like, I'm 45 now. I will never, ever go back on a football field and lace up a pair of cleats. So I enjoyed how I played. Is there some things I wish I'd take back, maybe conversation-wise? Of course. But I enjoyed it, and I had fun, and my family had fun. So for me, you just kind of go out there and just have fun with it. And I think sometimes fans don't really understand that. Right, it's you're telling. I was playing golf with one of my good friends earlier this morning, and he was telling me something, and we were talking on the golf course, and I said, "Man, a dude in a minivan is telling a Ferrari how to drive." Right, yeah. That's how I look at it. Nothing wrong with that, but I'm just saying sometimes, hey, man.
It got philosophical up in here, Diesel.
Yeah, it did.
It did. I like it.
Carolina Panther, great. Steve Smith to my left. We appreciate your time. A lot to be excited about this receiving core. As this, you know, it may not all happen this year, but you can see the pieces and the way they're developing. This is going to be a multi-year rebuild, especially for this position group, but this franchise as a whole. And today is the day where Carolina Panther fans get to come and see their team and start getting excited about the 2024 season. Carolina Panther Fan Fest is upon us. Gates opening here in just about 30 minutes at Clemson Memorial Stadium. The show begins.
There you have it. There's our interview last Thursday with NFL great Steve Smith.
Yeah, that was pre-recorded. The gates will not be opening.
Yeah, don't go there.
Yeah, just, I mean, you
can. You can.
Yeah, they
you
won't
go take a look.
You won't get in.
Get some pictures from outside the gate, but the gate is not opening. That is from last Thursday.
You might look suspicious, though. You might not want to do that.
Don't look suspicious. Don't look suspicious. Thanks to Steve Smith. Thanks to our homie Amy and everybody over the Panthers for setting that up. We appreciate that. And thanks to Lonzo for wowing us with this sports flash.
Y'all's welcome. The NFL preseason got underway last weekend without first overall selection, Caleb Williams, but the Commanders, Washington Commanders, have announced that second overall pick, LSU's Jaden Daniels, will get his first start Saturday when they play the Jets. The U.S. women's basketball team is one step closer to gold after knocking off Germany 87-68, marking the 58th consecutive win for the Stars and Stripes. Jackie Young led the U.S. with 19, while Asia Wilson added 14. The Americans next square up with Nigeria. Scottie Scheffler won the gold in men's golf for the USA yesterday. Scheffler was four shots off the lead to start the final round, but birdied five of six holes down the stretch for a match course record of 62. Make sure you tune in this afternoon, 3-7 p.m. for a brand new local show, Wire to Wire. Cole Bryson and Diesel get you up to date on the latest local and national sports news. Great guests, great debate, and a whole lot of fun. Wire to Wire.